we'll call the meeting to order. Claudia Malott, I believe, is gone. David Lemorand?
Here.
Glenn Schilling, I believe, is gone. Norm?
Here.
Steve Kopecky?
Here.
Carrie Tessman, here. Discussion regarding the current status of the district and potential amendments to the boundaries and project plan for tax incremental financing district number 4. Purpose of this meeting was the village wanted to have some discussion with the joint review board so that they have some idea on whether or not we might buy into what they're looking at, wanting to do, or giving feedback before they officially call us together to amend this TIF district, is my understanding, for the purpose of this meeting.
Correct. That is correct. I sent you all a variety of pieces of information. Steve, you and I are going to look at it upside down, if that's all right. The basics of it are, just as a reminder, this is the existing TIF District number 4. You'll recall that it was reduced considerably in about 2011 to this configuration from the very large one that existed prior to that. I also put on this particular piece of information the current status in terms of change in value, change in equalized value from the base value, as far as we can calculate it, for each of these properties to today, or to the 1/1/14 valuation. So as you can see, a lot of negative numbers there with a few spotty increases in value.
I think more importantly, what have you spent so far in there?
Ryan, what's the total expenditures in the district?
I don't have it off the top of my head. Are you able to pull the file up with the...
Well,
we have the expenditures.
530 or something,
yeah,
like that round numbers,
right.
But I can...
Most of that was the two land purchases of the properties that we had.
And they haven't been sold yet?
No, they were part of...
They're held here. Mm-hmm. These are these two parcels right here, and were acquired in anticipation of a redevelopment of the Capitol Plaza Shopping Center. That's the development that is currently under consideration and has received its land use approvals to this point. So we anticipate.
Now, are they going to pay for that land, or are you giving it to them?
We don't know yet, to be honest with you. We've gotten a request from the developer for TIF assistance that is right now being scrutinized against the backup data that we asked him to provide. We asked him for a number of documents and information on his assumptions for borrowing and assumptions for cost, and clarified what he includes in his land costs and things like that.
So I assume you paid more than the assessment today on those two parcels.
We paid less than they were assessed.
But you paid more than what they're valued at now.
Well, we've torn them down, so they're worth their
land value. Okay,
today.
So this isn't all reduction because of deflation. Some of it is because you took parcels off?
Yes. Because we removed the structures.
You took improvements down.
Mm-hmm. And they're technically, because we own them now, they're assessed at zero, but they have land value of, you know, together 100, 120, somewhere in there.
It was the timing of the TIF, just when everything, when it was shrunk in 2011, of, you know, the property values.
Yeah, but before that, I have to say, super TIFs, which it was before it was shrunk,
super TIFs
don't work. I'm talking from experience.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is you want to target.
Yep.
You want to target, and even if you have to do a couple TIFs and put them at different times, you really want to target it so that if something goes wrong, you don't have this huge super TIF that you have to deal with and have to manage. So what happened then was you did reduce it, which was a good thing. You did a very good thing, and I think the Joint Review Board agreed. But again, you still had enough.
It's not quite a super TIF, but it's a big TIF.
It's still a big TIF. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I suppose let's cut to the chase on that particular topic. As you can see, you've got a few parcels that are in positive increment right now, and in particular, you have the 130 and 140 parcels down here that are outlined.
What's on there?
These are the two parcels that were involved in the Emanuele and Hout redevelopment. So this building was completely leveled and rebuilt, and the village provided a couple hundred thousand dollars of support through a loan, essentially a forgivable loan, for this project.
So it was a grant?
It was intended to be. He has been required to make one payment already because the district isn't in a positive increment amount right now. So he's been required to make one payment. The village did, if you will, refinance that loan in an effort to forestall payments that he would need to make so that the district could become, would have a chance to become positive. Related to that, though, is the fact that these are the two parcels that have the most value on them, and that led us to talk about a potential reduction in the size of four yet again to, as you were talking about, essentially make it site-specific, although I will admit I gerrymandered it a little bit to pick up at least one other parcel of positive value.
The other parcel? Mm-hmm. What is on there, or what would there be on there?
It is an existing parcel, would not be likely to be redeveloped at all. This is the Senior Tomas restaurant.
Okay, why would you include that?
To be honest with you, because it has positive value and is currently in the district, and it would aid in making sure that the obligations down here get paid off.
Okay, so you didn't add anything else that wasn't in the district?
No. I have merely taken the existing boundaries of the district and proposed to reduce them, in the case of the green here, reduce them down to a size that primarily includes this is a village-owned parcel, and this. That would be ideal. We haven't tested whether or not in the TIF law this becomes a problem, because of course this is all vacant land owned by the village.
Because of contingency, contiguity?
That's why I included it to get up to this. But I don't know if there's any trip hazards, so to speak, in the law. I don't know that there are, but we haven't tested this against the law and the various requirements.
Well, what would that hazard be?
Obviously there's issues against vacant land. Clearly it doesn't have improvements on it, but it is a parking lot. There's requirements related to village-owned property.
Well, that would be more than 50%, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, then that obviously wouldn't make it.
Yep, and that may be the piece that trips us up on that. So it might end up being that it's merely this in the final analysis, which, as you can see, has, 912,000 of increment.
Now, if you had just that small two parcels in there, would that be successful for that portion?
What I think it would do is it would provide very close to, if not almost exactly, what the amount of the loans related to this development are. So there's about 200 and some odd thousand dollars of development here, and that's about all that would generate in the remaining life of the district. But it would pay those obligations. The obligations that are included in the expenses for TIF District Number 4, the balance of them, relate to the acquisition and demolition of these two properties, which could easily then be, if you will, flipped over as an expense related to TIF 6, if in fact that becomes something we do.
In other words, the yellow on this second sheet.
The yellow on the second sheet of a concept.
Well, I have to tell you, even from the three rules that we look at, mm-hmm. I don't buy bringing this thing in.
Okay.
With the changes in it, even if you could get past the, which I don't think you can.
Right.
The village ownership. Right, the land. Well, it's mostly vacant land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Even Brookfield, when they TIFed Brookfield, the area around Brookfield Shopping Center,
mm-hmm.
they excluded the center mall, which is the big portion of it, because there was no value. The TIF wasn't going to help that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things I asked for. But then it created a problem for them, because now they had a lot of vacant land. So, but they made it work. And it's a beautiful TIF.
Yeah. And I, like I said, it was obviously because there was value here. Based on quick calculations, just estimations, if you will, using current, current tax rates and whatnot, there is value that would eliminate the debt for this right here. And, as you pointed out earlier, would bring this TIF district down, four, down to a size that is a site-specific.
And how many years to pay that off if you were to do that?
Well, we would have the remaining life of the district, which is, you know, about 11, 12 years.
I couldn't remember what was left.
2028.
You know, taking a look at what's happened here, I don't see this on the county's tax rolls, you know, anytime soon. And it's just unfortunate, the timing of it. But also, it would have been nice if it was more targeted to begin with.
I don't disagree with that.
But you're heading in that direction.
Yeah. So that's the sort of the basic quick outline here and the concept here. Related to that, and as we talked about and we've sort of alluded to, is this other, you know, proposed development that we would anticipate supporting with TIF dollars that we're trying right now to determine what the actual economic need is. And that's the Riverwalk. You may have seen some of this in the papers. That's the Riverwalk. It's a mixed-use development, including obviously residential and commercial. Involves demolition of a 50s era, I think, old grocery store, replacing that with a modern commercial space adjacent to and running parallel to East Capitol Drive, which is in the village's long-term planning for the downtown, and then the construction of two residential buildings on the back portion. I'll call it the back portion, the northern portion of the lot. We would hope to do a targeted district just for that area. And as I indicated to you in the material, if you could follow what I was trying to portray in the spreadsheet that I sent to you, we expect that that'll have an incremental value based on the developer's comments of about $7.5 million. Spreading that over time, that supports it could net $2.4 million of tax revenue. The request today is for just south of $2 million. We don't think that's the real number, but that's what the request is.
Wow, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot for that area.
A lot of money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are some related to that. There are some public improvements that we're looking for. There are utility improvements that we would request and that he would ultimately need to provide the fire flow for this facility. He has included in that about $300,000, probably $330,000, for a new upsized water main in Lawn Street here so that he can connect his water main through here to provide fire flow for the building.
So you wouldn't be able to recoup your money for the two parcels anymore, right, because you spent them in the other TIF?
Well, we haven't talked about whether or not there's an official way to transfer that cost or anything like that. It would likely not be covered in what's left here. But, obviously, the parcels that we're talking about are in that district.
Well, I hate to give you this idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what you could do is you could keep four out here and then overlap it with six.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could get away with it.
Yeah. We have briefly talked about the overlying TIF district concept for this.
But then again, you've got, it's a zero value now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's not going to help you much because all of the new increments going to go to the new one, and you're still left with whatever this generates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to...
That's why we were looking at shrinking it down so much, because pretty much anything you pick up is
right.
Negative value.
Yeah. We can revisit the overlying TIF district concept.
As I think of it, I just know how you're not going to be able to generate enough because as soon as you create the new TIF, you freeze the value of the old TIF.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
which
yeah.
is at, so you're not helping yourself. I thought if you generated enough here,
mm-hmm.
more than what you needed here for that, then you could use it for that those costs.
Yeah, and you may be right that that concept won't work because of that. The freezing.
But it would have to come from here.
Mm-hmm.
The new value.
Yeah. And this is, you know, obviously this is a redeveloped parcel. There's nothing more that's going to happen there. So what you, any additional increment that comes out of here is going to be just simply, you know, value enhancement over time, inflationary, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it won't make you feel any better, but Muskego had trouble with the developer, and they ended up having to close the TIF, and they had to eat some costs because the they didn't have a developer's agreement in place before they spent money. That's a big mistake. Big mistake. And they ended up with a couple hundred thousand, I think.
Or was it, I thought it was like 800,000.
Was it that high? Well, they didn't have to eat all of it because some of it,
some of it was in the TIF that they kept.
Yeah.
They were able to recoup some of it, but not all of it.
This was a whole mall he was building. He was going to build a new, the Parkland Mall was going to be rebuilt.
Oh, boy.
Turned into a tree farm.
Yeah. Now it's a tree farm. And I think they get $1,500.
Tree farm,
in
probably ag
pets.
Use.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's either that or what's that, woodland?
Oh, yeah.
Woodland
right.
tax?
Right.
But anyway, so before, I think you're obviously going to get a developer's agreement before you would be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before the end of this process, there is a development.
Well, the good news is it looks like deflation is pretty much over in most of the county, not every place, but most of the county.
I think most of these values have have pretty much hit the bottom and are
starting to come
yeah.
up.
Certainly the residential values have bottomed and have started to climb again,
yeah.
I think. A mixed bag in that. But
we had 6 years in the county of reduced value.
Yeah.
We lost about 10.5% of our value, mm-hmm. and last year it went up 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big...
countywide.
And we're going to have another good year in the county.
Yeah.
And you're not foreseeing any way in the green area that there could be some development that could help you recoup some of that if you weren't to pull it out?
No, not really, because if you know, looking district-wide, the current district, these are all going
concerns.
They're established,
concerns yeah, here. They're not, aren't changing anything.
And are doing fine in terms of occupying their spaces
right.
and whatnot. This, of course, is M&I Bank. They're not in a position to do anything. They're surprisingly, they've lost value, but they're still strong. And with this is U.S. Bank, they're, as much as we tried to convince them to play ball, they are not interested in playing ball. About the only parcel that would have potential future development is this parcel, which is a single-family residence with a business on the front. But
you know what we're finding now is branch banks.
Mm-hmm.
They may keep the branch bank going, but they reduce their labor because so many people now are using technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we were just told by J.P. Morgan that they won't be able to handle at some of their branches some of the money coming from the golf courses, et cetera, because they're reducing the staff. Because they're just not getting, well, their people are using.
Yeah, right.
And I know my kids, I remember years ago when I took them to the bank, why are we here, Dad? We don't need to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, right. There might be some interest in the villages, on the village's part, for acquisition of some of the rear portions of these lots to improve the parking situation in the downtown. But in general terms, I don't see any major redevelopment on anything else in this area.
And again, you know this better than I do, and Norm knows the rules. But because I mean, you're talking about shrinking this down to maybe this parcel,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at, could you do something that was like here for, you know, instead of creating a new one, you know, that allows you to potentially recoup your $500,000? Trying to come
sure.
up with ideas.
And we can certainly look at that again, but one of the things I tried to suggest here in this information as we looked at this, by resetting this value today, by taking a new base value
right.
here, it acknowledges the fact that these are now vacant parcels with only land value.
Mm-hmm.
That
whereas,
was my point also
right.
on the overlying one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no value.
And so that helps in the reset, plus the fact that this particular parcel in and of itself lost 100 and...
No, I didn't figure it was. I just...
Yeah.
Looking at it.
The other problem you had is by the time it's built, done, and you start receiving increment, you're looking at 8 years of life left.
Right. You don't have a lot of time.
Because that's what we originally looked at.
And that's part B. So... body is generally okay with the concept of going with
I'm fine with it as long as you give up on that.
Yep, and that's fine.
So those parcels that are going to come out of the TIF, then they just go back on the tax rolls on the 1st of January? Is that on the normal tax roll?
Well, but a lot of them are negative. So, I mean, it's not like the overlying taxes or underlying are going to get much out of it.
They would go back on the roll, and they would be handled, but I'll say normally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of the TIF in, TIF out stuff that we have to go through.
Right.
It'd just be a lower value than they were before going into the TIF.
Unlike most TIFs, usually if you close the TIF, they have higher value.
Correct.
That's not, the base values maybe are higher than, mm-hmm. as you were saying, are higher than what the values have become.
They are. Overall, the district is still in a negative increment of $200,000+.
So,
$246,000.
It's helping them by getting them off because they got a ways to go before they.
So essentially, in our district, this is the only TIF in our school district. No other municipalities have any TIFs.
Culver's obviously number 5 is in your.
Yeah, we have 2.
It's in the village. Yeah,
we have 2.
Yeah, whatever you have in the village.
You have 2 remaining.
I mean, our TID value, TID in value is about $1.3 million more than our TID out value. So
that would be...
Your TID in value is how much?
About 1.3 higher. So that...
Yeah, that was all TIF 5. Because,
TIF
5. Yeah.
Is TIF 5 1.3, really?
Yeah, because there's...
Oh, because they're making up.
This year is funky because
we've had a real.
Is this
real,
the Culver's one?
Yeah, we've had a real time.
What happened? The walleye selling or what?
No, they missed all the personal property associated with it for 3 years.
Oh.
So okay.
They're making up.
What do you mean by they missed? I don't know what you mean by missed.
They didn't have it included in the value of the district.
Oh, okay.
So this is a makeup year. So that's.
I forgot that with restaurants. And I was not a real fan of the Culver's thing, but. I forgot about
property
personal property.
That's in there, and it's basically tripled, right?
Yes, because it's 3 years of it.
And then next year it'll go away, and it'll be the normal value, which is $800,000.
Yeah, it's like $600,000 or $700,000, so that number will shrink.
And then the negative. The difference here is all TIF 5.
Oh yeah.
And what you're saying, even though these values have gone down, they stay in at the base value.
Yep.
As far as
we don't qualify for the 10%. You could revalue it if the values have dropped over 10%. We don't meet the requirements to revalue it. We have to stay at the base.
So this is really not going to affect then the tax base.
It will.
It will.
Because if we shrink it to just these two, then
these go back to their current value
rather than 2008 value, and those values are all going to drop.
But you're saying that's not reflected in here right now because of the
it is, but if that's 1.2 million, mm-hmm. Culver's is positive 1.3, and that's negative 300. That's why it's about a million or 1.1.
Do you just get primary aid, or do you get?
No, we're in negative tertiary.
Okay.
So it's probably going to actually help us out.
If the values drop a little bit?
Yeah.
We're trying to help you.
Okay.
Anything we can do.
That's why there are different interests when we come to these TIF meetings.
I tell you.
Yes.
Because of the state aid to schools. Now, I'm in Brookfield. And in Brookfield, they're a primary aid district.
Yeah.
So they look at it just the way we do.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when is this going to come back to us because it helps them.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, it's which districts pay what portion of our levy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and
for shifting.
Your levy just became very interesting to all of us.
And the impact on TIFs?
Yes.
Hey, I had nothing to do with
that.
And
all of a sudden the...
Yeah, you know, we're just getting close to getting positive income.
And then
I hate to say this, but...
the college goes off.
They use surplus funds for their first year. And I heard the governor has, for the next 2 years, something in the budget. But they don't have it in their budget base. So I don't know how long they're going to continue that.
I don't know. That's one reason why I'm sure they didn't include any bigger cuts in this biennium budget, because they have no money for it.
Yeah.
Unless during the second year of the biennium they find some dollars and decide they want to do something, who knows. But right now it's not in the base of the budget. And But yeah, we have noticed some of the provisions that are...
Your rate isn't continued in the base of the budget?
No, that, no, no. Budget, what I'm saying
it's
is...
It's in the budget, though.
Well, they put that $304 million,
yeah,
but they haven't gone deeper than that, because
right,
there's
right.
been some desire to remove totally off the tax rolls, or at least the operational piece. And but they didn't have anything in the governor's proposed budget.
Is that the same amount you had in the last budgeting budget?
And what got approved effective this fiscal year was $304 million. That amount's not subject to change unless the statute changes.
Okay.
So the $43.2 million that our district is getting in property tax relief aid is going to stay at 43.2 into infinity until it gets changed.
Well, until they change the law or don't have the money for it.
Because there's no inflation on it or whatever. But yes, until it changes. But there is provisions that if, say, that the legislator was to drop it, then we could tax for it. But you know how that's going to go if all of a sudden you're having to do double-digit inflation, double-digit increases or whatever to make up for it.
I mean, they won't take the bows like they did when they brought the taxes down?
Right.
Okay.
And nobody understood it when their property tax went down. Mm-hmm. I think I had 3/4 of the municipalities call and say, I think you billed us wrong.
I yelled at Mike, oh my goodness, this does not look right.
You were just, even after we sent out an email to everybody saying, heads up.
Because
we got 3 phone calls within a few hours when the mail got delivered.
Well, our tax listing division, which sends out most of the tax bills, they got called. Somebody said they made a mistake on my tax bill because it went down.
Yeah.
They said they must have made a mistake. And so we had a number of calls like that.
70% decrease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's the smallest rate on the
But thanks to you guys, we didn't get a lot of calls from citizens about their taxes going up because everybody else...
Mine overall went down $11. That's only because the village went up and schools went up in my district, my municipality. But.
So let me ask you on the Culver's. Does that mean it might close out a little early? Because you have more... tax base than you thought?
No.
We haven't projected it out, I don't think.
Yeah, we kind of looked at it. It hasn't. This is the first year it's had increment. I think that was that 2011 that one was created?
I mean,
they
created in 2011. Why is it this long since it created increment?
Because they missed 3 years of the personal property. That's why we looked
at it. What about their land and what about their building?
But the land and building value, we looked at that too. It wasn't what was originally anticipated when we looked at it.
But it was less?
Yes.
It was less.
So they went down?
But there wasn't, they hadn't included the personal property. Anyway, the personal property wasn't there, which brings it close
but
to
I'm,
the value.
I'm more interested in when I looked at it, I looked at land and building.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're telling me it was less than what was in the plan?
Less than what was anticipated, yes.
And we talked to our assessor about that because that was another thing. He had the land value at $100,000, and I believe they bought it for $400,000, and we said to him, I think part of it was our assessor's fault with the way that he valued that, and he made the change this year for that. So,
you know, we don't really want to have countywide assessment, but those are the issues that I hear that probably should be.
Yeah. If you'll indulge me, and we talk a little bit about a potential future district here, are there other thoughts and comments you might have about, I mean, other than you said that's a lot, are there other thoughts and that comments that y'all might have about that structure of that deal, so to speak, in terms of funds or ratios?
Well,
is
it not going to happen without a TIF?
That's what he says, and we just need to arrive at what the real number is associated with that.
Well, between not needing money and... Did you say 2 million?
Yeah, 1.9 and
that's
change.
A huge, huge, huge difference. I mean, I've seen pretty significant TIFs at less than that. I mean, the TIF in Brookfield for the commercial development or the light industrial near the airport, Capital Airport,
mm-hmm.
that I think was down there.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And this is nothing like that.
No. He has... asked for the moon.
And this is retail, right?
There's commercial and residential.
Okay. And residential?
It's a mixed.
What kind of residential?
Multifamily.
When you said 2 million, that's the benefit that the developer will get as a result
well, he's,
of
asking for.
That's what he's asking.
That's what he's asking.
Well, when this multifamily, is it going to be what kind of multifamily?
I don't know what the answer you're looking for is.
Well, I'm looking for
high end.
If it's high end, I'm not going to be real crazy about it. You know, we're building retail everywhere, mm-hmm. but nobody that works in these places can live there.
Yeah, we
need a mix of places. I'm not saying that we want all workforce housing, mm-hmm. but I mean it's hard to get here by bus, right? From any other, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're building lots of retail and no places for people to live, and because we don't have a huge metro system, it's very difficult.
Right. There is a range of units and types here, ranging from some units above the proposed above the commercial space here that are 1 and 2 bedroom units. There are some studios and 1 bedroom units in these that'll be market rents for those size units. And then there are, of course, the fairly, I'll call them palatial 2 bedroom, units that are in there as well.
If they want public funds, then, I would look for a public interest, something that is more public. And, like we're seeing in the corners, those high-end apartments, I don't see what the public interest is there, particularly since everybody that's going to be working below them can't afford to live in them. So I would hope that the market rates are things that people could afford that may be working there.
I don't know. We have added other multifamily in the, near the downtown that are probably, in that same arena. They have 1 and 2 bedroom individual walk-up, type of units that are...
Those aren't in a TIF, though, right?
No, you're not.
That's a whole different... I have no problem. Is there a shortage?
Is there a shortage of rentals units in the village?
That's one of the questions that we asked in his backup material. What is the market for him?
What we're finding is condos are not selling anymore.
No.
And those that build them know they can't build them right now. Because, baby boomers.
People don't want to buy.
Millennials are waiting, renting right now, maybe mm-hmm. eventually buying. And, the sale of new units is very, very light. And
sale of new condo-type units.
Condo mm-hmm. and, or even certain kind of home. Actually, the more expensive homes that people, not spec, but those are still happening, mm-hmm. but anything in the sort of mid-range are not going very well either. Now, maybe it'll come back, but a lot of people are deciding to rent these days.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of the conversation. The developer that's proposed this has a similar development in Delafield and very successful. In terms of renting, filling his buildings. So,
in where did you say
Delafield? Downtown Delafield, similar concept.
Is he the latest TIF there?
Joe,
is
Joe what? McCormick? Yeah, Joe McCormick is his name.
Oh, I was set on that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I imagine you did.
Yeah, and I mean it's a great idea. The way to revitalize your downtown mm-hmm. in a lot of cases is bring people there.
Yep.
Well, same thing with Sussex. They've got, got residential, the apartments with that too.
How many units are going to be here?
In the 2 buildings in the back, 74, and there are 3 units above. So 77 total.
That's a good number.
Well, a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to move it along. We've gotten his backup material. It's at our financial advisor. We're using Ehlers, and they're going through that right now.
So are you going to be doing in tandem TIF 4 and 6?
We are.
So when we'll make our two agendas?
When we make our official request or our official notification to the governmental bodies, we will ask them to appoint the same body of people. And we would hope to run them all as a joint meeting, essentially, of the two.
We've done that where we've done, okay, here's tip four, we have our agenda, and we go into tip six and have that agenda, same meeting time.
But it needs to be clear.
They need to have two separate agendas, with one could say following.
Yep.
It's other one or whatever time wise.
We'll be.
And we move chairs when we go to the next.
All right, rotate.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we have done two TIFs simultaneously at the same meetings.
And that would be our intent. We would run reduction of this and creation of that.
You're going to double our usual payment.
Your usual fee.
Okay, good.
We'll double that right away.
All right, the check for zero.
Yeah, take care of that, would you, Ryan? Okay, that's all I had. I just wanted to introduce the topic to you, kind of get the.
What kind of timeline are you looking potentially for calling us officially together?
Next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
No, I think we're looking a couple of weeks out at least for that official meeting, couple, 3 weeks.
So sometime in April.
Yeah.
Early April.
The earliest you can try to get dates from me, the better. Because I like to at least zero them out so people can't make me committed.
Right.
And
we'll definitely do that. You know, we'll have, I anticipate that I'll have at least two or 3 weeks before I know when that hearing is going to be, so that I'll know that when we're going to try and get you all together.
Okay.
Because obviously we'll have to get that initial meeting in before the public hearing. Anoint a chairman and a public member for the TIF 6 body.
I move we adjourn.
The week after Easter is probably not going to work for me.
I forget when Easter is.
Easter is like the first weekend in April.
The 5th.
The 5th or what? 5th, whatever that
is. 6th is Easter itself, so 7th is the week of after Easter. And the week before, I know, let's see, 2nd and 3rd is Thursday and Friday. Good Friday is the 3rd. So the 5th is Easter.
April 6th is opening day.
Yeah, I know that's in there too. Oh, on Easter itself?
No.
Oh, day after?
Yeah,
two shots.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'll try to get some information out to you.
Glenn, I'm not sure if Glenn's available then or not, but I know that we're off school that week. So. Yeah.
Well, I know on Good Friday we're closed on Good Friday.
Okay.
We're not.
So Good Friday and.
You stay open on religious holidays.
I should know.
Well, we've now gone to spring holiday, and so this year they're putting on the same day as Good Friday.
So we are in the spring half day.
Many years ago, I think they did, but they.
Last year we were open.
Now, and we have full Christmas Eve and full New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we were open last year on Good Friday, but not this year.
All right, you got a half a motion for an adjournment, I think.
Yep. So far, only half. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.